Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI.
With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com. Sign up. Join the community. And plus, we got a 7-day free trial. So
time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Coming to you a little bit earlier than normal. Chapman's turning into a general contractor here soon. Our insurance finally came in on our Altadena house, and I appreciate everybody that keeps, you know, asking about that. Not, we ain't got the payment yet, but we can finally start work on that. So that's Chapman's doing stuff from out of town. I'm gonna have to go down to Southern California and get some stuff down there. But anyway, I got to go live here a little bit earlier today, but I'm so excited about today's show. We are going to focus on, one, what is significant about the 49ers offensive identity with this outside zone, Kyle Shanahan scheme, Kubiak scheme, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to go position by position offensively to focus on who are perfect fits. And the easiest metric to do that analytically is run blocking grade, zone blocking grade. Like those two things, if you can get them, and it goes really across all positions, probably except for quarterback, but we're going to give you some quarterback answers too. This is what the 49ers have always kind of built around, and not even just the 49ers, the entire Shanahan tree. Even the defensive guys, whenever they leave, Robert Saleh, D'Amico Ryans, you can go on, whatever. They all carry this with them. So who are some of those guys that perhaps, let's take our blinders, our bias off, which I have a lot. Obviously, I'm a Longhorn guy. We're going to talk about some Longhorns today. But just from an analytical grading scale, who are some of those offensive players that are just perfect fits offensively? And so that's kind of what we're going to be looking at today. Got some really good questions. And I woke up to, you know, probably 20 Max Crosby questions. And I was like, man, what's going on? Like, what caused the sudden influx of Max Crosby questions? And then I, you know, jump over to Twitter and he's on there. I guess he was in town for the All-Star, NBA All-Star weekend, and just talked about how he had one of the best times of his entire life here and how great the Bay were and the people, and he's just so thankful. So now everybody's, you know, quote tweeting and whatever else. Oh, come to the Bay, come to the Bay, come to the Bay. That is interesting, to say the least. Obviously, Max Crosby's incredible. I think that there's two top tiers of defensive or edge players. I think the first tier is Myles Garrett and TJ Watt. I think they're by themselves. I think that second tier has probably 5 to 6 players, however you want to put them. And again, you know, Nick Bosa, Hendrickson, and Max Crosby. Like, there's lots more that you could add into that. But those three guys, like, I don't put them in that TJ Watt, Myles Garrett category, but they're right there below that. And is Max Crosby better than Nick Bosa? I don't think so. Personally, I would prefer to have Bosa, but Max Crosby is in the conversation. No doubt about it. Such a great dude, such a great guy. So, like, and it's funny because the 49ers, I probably should have pulled this clip. I didn't even think about this till now. Kyle Shanahan talked about when they first brought over Kyle Kucerich, and they're doing their draft interviews. And Chris Kucerich, has our defensive line coach, has been around the NFL for a long time. And so they go into interview, and their first defensive end interview that year at the Combine was Max Crosby. And Chris Kucerich just starts laying into this dude and just making fun of him, berating him, as so many teams do. I think those are horrible, whatever else. And Shanahan has to tap, like, Kucerich at the table, like, dude, we don't do that here. Like, that's not who we are. And Shanahan had talked about, like, he's like, it sucked because it happened to the coolest guy ever in Max Crosby. But, yeah, so there's a little bit there. Does this mean that he's going to force his way to trade here? I doubt it. The Raiders do not like the 49ers. And it is interesting. As somebody who is born and raised outside the Bay, obviously I'm from Dallas-Fort Worth, born and raised Texas. My story, why I love the 49ers, 9 years old, about to turn 10, asked my stepdad I hated, which team he hated the most, said the 49ers, that I asked for a Jerry Rice jersey for Christmas, and I still have it. It's hanging up over there. That's how I became. But I always hated the Raiders. Whenever I moved to the Bay, most people locally don't hate the Raiders. Outside of San Francisco area, Niners fans hate Raiders. I don't know what the difference is there. Maybe because it's never been a competition. But the Raiders hate us. You can go back to when Khalil Mack was going to be traded, demanded to be traded. That's when Gruden was there and all that stuff. The 49ers had a better trade package put together than the Bears did. But they did not Mark Davis refused to trade him here. So that complicates it further. Now it is AFC to NFC, and now the Raiders are in Vegas. I think they were in Vegas back then too, though. Actually, I think they just left. Yeah, I'd love Max Crosby. Would I give up the number 11 overall pick for Max Crosby? Yes, I would. Would I, again, if I could get Myles Garrett, I would give up a first and fourth and future second. For Myles Garrett, I'd give up the 11 and a fourth. That's it. For Max Crosby, a first and a fourth, that's it. So does that make sense? That's the difference for me. And I know a lot of people would probably agree to trade more. I would love Max Crosby, but if you trade for him, you got to pay him. That's always the issue. Can you afford to pay him? We're seeing cap casualties all across the NFL right now. A lot of players getting cut. Well, anyway, yeah, I had to throw that in there. This is episode 1337 of the 40 Hours Rush podcast, and I'm very thankful that all of you guys are with me. And shout out to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers Storage 365, and David Gill. We're going to have some fun on today's show. I'm excited. Now, sticking with this offensive line, we had a question from one of our Patreon subscribers. And again, the49ersrush.com or Patreon. That's how we feed the family here, the Chapmans. That's how we eat. KAD, he asked this question. He said, if Kelvin Banks Jr. gets drafted at 11, offensive tackle out of Texas, my number one offensive tackle, what position would he play for the 49ers this year in 2025? Would he get redshirted? Could he play right tackle? Could he play left guard? Where would he go? Well, I'm here to tell you right now, I don't really care. There's one exemption to this list. If you draft a left tackle, okay, and whatever your order is, whether that's Will Campbell, Josh Simmons, Kelvin Banks Jr., whatever, any left tackle, they're going to play left guard for the 49ers first. That's just what's going to happen. The one, I don't think any of those guys would play right tackle first. I think left guard is the biggest issue on this team currently. Let me refrain from that. The coaches, Chris Forster, Kyle Shanahan, see the biggest issue on the offensive line to be that left guard spot. That's where they stand. I disagree with that. I think it's at the center position, then left guard, then right tackle. I don't think they see right tackle as like we have to improve immediately. And again, James, appreciate you. I agree that I think center's the biggest need. I think Chris Forster and Kyle Shanahan see left guard as the biggest need. Also, they love people to learn at guard. If they draft an interior offensive lineman, they're going to play left guard first before center, almost exclusively. Maybe Majors would be the difference there, who might be a center-only prospect, but I think they play him at guard too. So any of those left tackles I mentioned, they're going to play left guard first, and then when Trent retires, bump out to left tackle. The one guy that might be an exception to that rule is Armon Membu, who's never played on the left side. He's a right tackle. He's played right tackle. It's harder for a lineman to jump left to right or right to left than it is from tackle to guard or guard to tackle. And especially in the Shanahan scheme. We're going to talk a little bit more about that scheme, and that's why I'm leading in with this. So if you draft Banks, I think he starts at left guard and possibly bumps out. I think he should bump out. I think he has the most promise as a left tackle. Is he clean? No. But I think if every single player reached their potential, I think Kelvin Banks would be the best left tackle in this draft. Josh Simmons, the most plug-and-play left tackle in this draft. He's coming off an ACL. Will Campbell, yeah, run blocking-wise, fits it. And it might be – none of these guys are pure left tackles. Armon Membu, however, out of Missouri, who I freaking love, I would kick McKivitz in. That dude is just exactly how you drop a right tackle. He's everything you ever wanted. And you may never, ever move Armon Membu over to left tackle. Now, his feet, they say left tackle, no doubt. The athleticism and all that stuff say left tackle, no doubt. But, man, if I draft Armon Membu, I'm kicking Colton McKivitz over, personally. I'm going to see if he can play left guard. He's played left side. In fact, you go back to his college days, he played almost exclusively left tackle. But that's just kind of how I see it. We're going to talk about this guy a little bit later, Wyatt Millen. I want to start that one. I'm going to come back to that one. Oscar, appreciate you guys. And I feel bad. I skipped all the CCs. That was my bad. I appreciate everybody. And I'm very thankful for everybody being in here. I don't know why I got a little bit off. It's a little too early, baby. Maybe it's a little too early. I've been up for a long time. Oscar, Jared Wilson, Jonah Monheim, Jake Minners at center stand out to me. All are maulers and quick off the snap. Well said. I think they all fit. Jake Majors, Jonah Monheim probably fit the best. Jared Wilson, a little bit of a scheme transition, but his athleticism say yes. I would be happy with any of them. I have been screaming for the 49ers, as most of you have, to please God draft a new center. Please, 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 please. And yeah, I would take any of these guys. Right here, Mike, I've heard other people say Banks has the highest ceiling, but is inconsistent. Yes. Inconsistent, but like, if you look at dominant plays, he's the guy. Like, the ceiling is off of the freaking charts. And he's played in our zone scheme. Texas probably runs the most, how do I say this? And I'm sure somebody could rebuttal that there's 120 plus college programs. I think Texas runs the most Texas 49ers friendly scheme. Kyle Shanahan literally goes down there and coaches for a week every single year. But if you look at Kelvin Banks and you're like, well, inconsistent, 40 starts, one sack allowed this year, one sack allowed last year. Like, it's not like he's whiffing and whatever else. He needs some more polish, no doubt about that. But, like, you watch him against the best. Now, the Georgia game is the one that stands out. He struggled He struggled against Georgia. No, the first game, the second game, he was playing through an injury, is a rolled an ankle. He stayed out there, played, still wasn't that great. But you watch him against Michigan, that dude, him against Mason Graham in the run game, he won every single rep. It was only like six, but he won every single rep. Like, he can do it all. He fits perfectly.
Did you know last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America? Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers. But it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns helps grow your money into more of your money. Imagine if you started saving a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, how you would feel if you started investing what you already have. Well, with Acorns, it makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, or your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich either. Acorns lets you invest with spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your personal spare change. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. That's acorns.com/49ers. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida? And here's the thing, Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in or out as quick as 15 minutes. And now they offer MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account for this sports season. So head to prizepicks.com, use the link in the description of this podcast, or download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code 49ers. You'll get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, here's my favorite thing about this is it's just so simple. You pick two players, and let's say you're into basketball. Is Steph Curry going to score over 26.5 points? Is Jimmy Butler going to score over 20.5 points? Over, under, you get paid. If you get it right, that's where it is. So go to Prize Picks and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Right here. Who is the offensive line dude no one is talking about that the Niners might take at 11, says James. Tyler Booker? If they shouldn't do that. That's the left guard from Alabama. I think he's the most, he's the safest player in this draft. And I think that he does go top 15. And like, you just draft that dude to plug him at guard. Is he as good as Quentin Nelson? No. But man, if you just want a solid double straight down the fairway so you can lay up on the green, like whatever sports analogy you like, Tyler Booker, guard only prospect. Oh my gosh. Like, if you're worried about missing out, just get Tyler Booker and you're safe. It's big. Left guard's the biggest need. Again, from the 49ers view, I think left guard's the biggest need. You just draft that guy. You got Dominique Pooney. You got Tyler Booker. Your guards are set for a decade. Run game, awesome. Pass protection, awesome. Like, I would not be upset. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. But, yeah, Tyler Booker would be that one that's like, do we draft guards that high? No. But somebody's going to, and they're not going to be upset. And whoever drafts Tyler Booker is going to be very happy. And he's going to get the fifth-year option picked up. And, like, you're going to be happy. That's just, look, man, safe, reliable, golden. And it's in the trenches. I don't think Niners do it. Invader. McKivitz could probably play anywhere in spot duty on the offensive line, but could stick at either guard position. I just don't see Mimbu beating him out in camp for right tackle. I agree with that. I do agree with that. But, man, again, this is where Chapman and the 49ers disagree. I think you need three improvements at the offensive line. Starts at center, then left guard, then right tackle, in that order. Bimbo's a perfect fit. But, man, we love those old dudes. Aaron, Jock, could any of these centers play left guard for us first year? Yeah, I think every single one of them would. Can Banks play both tackles? Yeah, if you can play left tackle, you can almost always play right tackle. It's not the opposite, right? All squares are rectangles. Not all rectangles are squares. Left tackle is the question mark for athleticism, length, all those different things, because usually they're the ones that go up against speed rushers the most. Why? It's quote unquote the blind side. There's not that many left-handed quarterbacks. And in today's shotgun, pistol, whatever world, it's a little bit different. But whenever quarterback drops back and opens up, that's a right-handed quarterback, he can't see behind him. That's why you always put the guy on the left tackle spot. That's why that's there. So hopefully that makes sense. Oh, what's up, Sin? How are we doing? She says, John, coming with the education we need. Once a teacher, once an educator, always an educator. That's what's up. Xiao, he says, John, are you going to do all seven rounds for the draft for us? Man, let me say this. We are currently looking for a draft venue for a draft party for day one and day two. Probably not going to do day three. That's a lot. I've done days one and day two in the past. I'd like to continue that, but I want to do an in-person event in the Bay Area. And I'm willing to go as far as Sacramento. Last year was rough because we were looking at like bars and whatever else in the Bay Area. And like, it was rough. Everybody wanted way too much money. And everybody was like, no, you can't have a mic system in here. And we do normal business. And it was just like, all right, I want that. I'm kind of looking for an event space is what we're looking for. So if you know of somebody that would love to freaking pack that house out and have like 150 to 250 people out there, days one and day two of the draft, or just one of those days, we bring the TVs, we bring the entertainment, all that kind of stuff. We handle everything. They just open the doors to make money. It's simple. Have them reach out to us, or you email me, say, hey, check out this spot, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. I really want to do something in the Bay Area. We've struggled finding places that can fit as many people as we like. It will let us have the control that we like. And every spot always says the same thing. Like, oh, Niners fans always say they're going to bring all these people. And I'm like, whoa, we're a little bit different. So like, I get maybe you've been burned by Niners chapters or groups in the past. No. We're going to bring a ridiculous amount of people. So if you know anything about that, please, 48hoursrushpodcast@gmail.com. Please reach out to us. I would love that. All right, here we go. Let's get into this. Let's talk about the run game philosophy of the Shanahan scheme, why that's so important to how they target players, and the one time they didn't target players like that. And then let's carry that over into draft prospects. I'm going to give you two at every offensive position: quarterback, running back, tight end, interior offensive line, tackle, wide receiver, that I believe fit this scale. And on top of that, I'm going to give you the tools to find other guys that fit before you leave today. Okay, so man, we're going full education here. We've got our rubric. We got our scope and sequence. Oh, man, I hate every word that's coming out of my mouth right now. I'm the teacher that always hated all the staff development days. They're the least favorite days ever. Anyway, we'll take that for what we will. So let's look at this. Kyle Shanahan runs the Kubiak-Shanahan scheme, the outside zone. Now, they run inside zone, too. We'll talk about that in a second. And if you don't know what these are, that's okay. If you really want to learn about football, the number one, we do a football 101 on our Patreon page and the 49ersrush.com. You just type in football 101 and all these videos pull up. On the 49ersrush.com, we have a whole section and like You click outside zone. I show you why. I show you the play. I show you the all 22 coaches tape. I diagram it for you. It's all there. The outside zone, everything is predicated on that play. And think back to old school football where you say, okay, we're going to run 12 power, 23 power, 23, whatever. It doesn't matter. Where you, the tailback is the number two player and he runs through the three hole. Whatever. You run here, that's where we're going. The outside zone doesn't do that. The outside zone says student body right. It's a variation of the old wing T that has adapted to, hey, the running back can go anywhere. The running back goes with what he sees. So all five offensive linemen block not vertically getting upfield. They block horizontally. So let's say we run outside zone right, and you can see it on those short tosses, the crack toss, whatever else, the stretches. Dead man. There's so many ways you can do it. All five offensive linemen and the tight end all block to the right side. They literally turn and run. The running back gets the ball, takes three hard steps, and then reads inside out. Now, you can change that, and there's, you know, you read outside in, you can do a cutback, you can do whatever else. But the outside zone is predicated upon you can stop perhaps four or five of these gaps. You can't stop six consistently. And we bet that our running back will find the one unblocked or unstopped run gap, and they'll hit that every time. People want to know what Christian McCaffrey's elite trait is. It's not speed. It's not power. It's not elusiveness. It's none of those things. It's vision. The thing that Christian McCaffrey has better than any other running back that I've ever graded, vision. He sees where the hole is going to be before it is there, and he hits it every damn time. And if you have, shout out to Invader, you want to watch, go watch 10 Christian McCaffrey plays, then go, and this is not nice, Isaac Grindo plays. Christian McCaffrey, A-plus vision, was some of the best I've ever seen. Isaac Grindo, some of the worst I have ever seen. Literally the worst. Runs into his own players, misses the gap, misses the holes, misses all those things. Doesn't mean Isaac Grindo's not great. Doesn't mean he's not going to be amazing. But vision is needed. Decisiveness is needed. When you compare that with speed and all those things, things are great. So how do the 49ers scout offensive linemen? We'll start up front. Lateral agility, side-to-side lateral movement is paramount. Old school offensive line, length, power, being able to drive the defender vertically. That was what was most important and most coveted. And gap schemes, inside the duo, power scheme, all those are different words for the same thing. They're not the exact same, but they're close. I know some coaches listen like, actually, duo and inside zone are different. They're not. They're the same, but they're a little bit different, but they're not. Anyway, somebody's like, okay, thank you. So that made somebody happy, hopefully. But they go after length, power, size. 49ers in this outside Kubiak Shanahan scheme go after horizontal lateral ability, that first step to open, to turn and run. That's why a lot of the 49ers offensive linemen are smaller that can run faster. That's why 49ers offensive linemen, they don't value arm length like most teams do. Everybody says, oh, you got to have 34-inch arms to play center. Have to. Not for the 49ers. Colton McKivitz, 33-inch arms. Jalen Moore, 33-inch arms. Now, you look at Trent Williams, he's got 34-inch arms. It's not like 34-inch arms are a bad thing. That's just not what makes it so important. You need people that can move, that can run, that can open up their hips, have fluidity. You talk 20-yard shuffle. You talk the short shuttle, you talk about three code, you talk about those things. That's huge. Agility and speed take the importance away from length and power as other schemes. Okay, so that's offensive line play. Wide receivers, you got to be willing to block. Tight ends, man, you got to be able to do it all. And the 49ers have two tight end kind of molds that they like. They like an extra offensive tackle that can block consistently, and then they want somebody that can block that can move in space. Those are the two types that they go after. Think Charlie Warner, Ross Dwelly. That's what it is. Now, sometimes you get a unicorn, like a George Kittle, that is just checks every single damn box that you want. You want a blocker? Check. You want speed? Check. You want space? Check. He just does everything. So those things exist. So having said that, let's open up our discussion. And I have to say, I'm going to brag a little bit. I posted this morning on our Patreon page and on the 49ersrush.com. Just click on player breakdowns. You'll see the NFL draft section. This is our NFL draft sheet. This is incredible. Shout out to the 49ers Rush team for helping create this. We have over 300 players filled out on this spreadsheet. And, you know, it's got the people that measured at the Senior Bowl. We have all their measurements. Now, this is pre-combine. It's so 40-yard dash, any place that had their 40-yard dashes up, schools, you know, high school combines, whatever, we have that on there. But again, it's red, it's unofficial. But you can look at receiving grades, man grade, zone grade, blocking grade, pass blocking grade, special teams, how many rush attempts the wide receivers had, targets. You want to look at defenders. I mean, this is just unbelievable. The amount of stuff, and you can sort all these columns. You want to know which run defenders are good with a pass rush grade. You're looking at how many pressures, quarterback hits, win rate, total snaps. You want to look at defensive backs who have the most deep free safety snaps. You can sort that there and look through that. So we shared that this morning. That's up to any level, whatever. So if you are supporting us, I want to say thank you. This is our pre-combine thing. So you just open that up and keep that open on the side of your computer. And whenever you're listening to a podcast or watching a show, just go to that position. Filter it however you want to filter it and say, yeah, actually, I'm not sure this guy fits, or actually, this is a perfect fit. We create things for us, and this is awesome. Our draft book's going to be coming out. I wanted to get it out by this week. I'm not going to be able to share the first iteration of that this week, so I might come out post-combine with our first one and then our final one early April. So that you'll have at least 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks with that. So let's go through. Let's talk offensive tackles, okay? So we are sorting through just the run grades and guys that kind of fit that scheme that I was just talking about, right? This Shanahan Kubiak kind of mold. And if you look at offensive tackles, the very first one with the highest run block grade for not only offensive tackles, but any offensive lineman, the first guy you're going to get is Charles Grant. Charles Grant from William and Mary, who he's got an 89.9 run blocking grade, 41 starts at left tackle. Now, you're talking William and Mary. Okay, I get it. I understand the level of competition. And you look at Charles Grant, like he's a late round guy. But this is somebody. Oh, look at that. Invader. There we go. He says, I love Grant. Jedi. He says, man, I need one of those to read on the toilet. That's not disrespect. My name's John. It's welcomed here for that type of talk. but Charles Grant, athleticism, length, undersized, lean build, but 3-year starter. All-state wrestler. I mean, just, again, we talk lateral agility. We talk run blocking. We talk all those things. Dude just fits. Exactly from an analytical standpoint, from a raw watch the film standpoint, he just checks the box. Now, the second highest is a guy that we have mentioned many a times, and he's not going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. That is offensive tackle Armon Membu, second highest graded run blocker from PFF. Now, is PFF the end-all, be-all? No. But it's the only site that judges every single play that they have ever taken on a snap-by-snap grade basis. If this dude comes out with an 87.6 run grade, there's a reason why Dane Brugler has him in his top 10. 29 starts at right tackle, run blocking, finish, getting to the second level. Most sound offensive lineman in this draft. I mean, he just fits everything. Everything. And so, like, we're talking about Charles Grant, who, yeah, needs to gain weight. That's a day 3 offensive tackle prospect that is a project that is going to need time. Whereas we're talking Armon Mempu, dude, you just plug that dude in at right tackle. You plug him in at guard. Like, that dude just, whew, unbelievable. Like Armon Mempu, if you take him at 11, you're not wrong. That is a good pick. Probably not what I would do, but that is, it fits scheme, it fits need, it fits premium position, it makes Brock Purdy better. Ah, man, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. He's awesome. Now, here we go, Buck. He says, have you looked at left tackle Wyatt Millen for West Virginia? Late second, maybe early third. Now, yes, I have. And he's our next player that we're going to talk about. If you go look at the arm length, which again, I said, the 49er scheme, arm length's not that big of a deal, right? It's not. But I'm trying to find them on here. Here we go. I'm going to share this again. I have filtered our thing by arm length. These are just Senior Bowl measurements. We don't have the combine yet. But Wyatt Millen has a 32-inch arm. He has a full inch and a half shorter arms almost than Colton McKivitz does. Like, this dude, I love Wyatt Millen's tape, and he played very well. A lot of people said that, yeah, he dominated Abdul Carter. I didn't see that. I went through and watched the tape twice. I was like, what did I miss? He did very well against him. Wyatt Millen is a guard-only prospect. And again, just to kind of back that up, when Wyatt Millen was at the Senior Bowl, dude just played interior only. Now, 89.7 run blocking grade. Hell yes. Dude is a beast. But could he play tackle if he had to? If the 49ers have three left tackles injured again, like we had last year, yeah, you could put him there. That's not his place. His place is going to be kind of, yeah, so, right here, Vader. So what you're saying, John, is Millen has T-Rex arms. He sure as hell does. But man, his tape is clean. I think he falls pretty far. I think he goes third, fourth round because the tape is great. But, man, those measurables are rough. And even in a Shanahan scheme that doesn't put the impetus on arm length, he's bad for that. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm not a measurables guy. I don't think Shanahan or the 49ers are measurables guys. But at some point, man, you get docked. If he had 33-inch arms, all right. 32? You're an interior guy only. Could he play center? Oh, all right. Now you got some added versatility there. But I think guard, and I think round three, round four, if the 49ers took Wyatt Millen round two and played him at left guard, would I be upset? I would not. I would not. The dude is a damn good football player that's tough as hell. And 49ers like West Virginia players. They've gone back to that well many and many a times. Buckeye agrees. He says, yes, guard would be good. I love it. Oh, man, is that his AVI, Buck? Is that you with the picture of Fred Warner? Is that at our Vegas draft party? Your AVI? I think it's small on my screen. Buck, yeah, I'm curious if that was at our – I think it is. I don't know. I'm going to wait to hear back from you on that one. But, man, that AVI is cool. Picture with Fred Warner. How cool is that, man? That is awesome. So, we've got a lot more. One more. I'm sorry, interior offensive lineman. And this is a guy that is getting a whole lot of the press coverage and everything else. And that's Gray Zabel, North Dakota State. And again, I just went the top two players on my run blocking, zone blocking list. This is not me saying, oh, let's talk about these guys. No. That chart that I showed, this is just me filtering it with the best run blocking, zone blocking grade that fit the 49ers, and these are the guys. Gray Zabel is him. Gray Zabel, North Dakota State, he has an 86.5 run blocking, but he played all left tackle. Not all left tackle. Listen to Gray Zabel. 14 starts at left tackle, 17 starts at right tackle, 6 starts at left guard. He comes in. If you draft Gray Zabel, you probably got to give him a second round pick, 43. Starts left guard, kicks to center. Oh, he's so freaking good. Oh, there we go, Buck. He says, yes, that was in Vegas. Ah, that's what's up, man. I'm, whew. That got me excited. I ain't going to lie. That got me excited. I love the fact. It's funny, whenever we have these players out at our events, which is always so cool, I don't even talk to them. I'm like, all right, this is for the fans. My job is to make sure everybody has a good time. And then sometimes afterwards, like Frank Gore or somebody's like, yeah, let's hang out. That's always amazing. And Fred Warner was one of those. But, man, that picture makes me really happy, man. Thank you, Buck. I appreciate you sharing that. Now, if you guys want to bet the draft or anything, NBA, NHL, whatever, you know where you got to go.
The NFL season may be done, but betting with my bookie, which has been going on for 10 years now, is still in full swing. You want to bet the NFL draft? You think you know who's going to go first overall? Is it going to be Abdul Carter, the star pass rusher? Or is it going to be a quarterback, Cameron Ward, Shedeur Sanders? Head over there, and you can make that prediction now. Those bets are already up. You're a big basketball guy. Who's going to make the playoffs after the trade deadline? A lot of big trades took place. Head over there. Who's going to make the playoffs? You can bet individual games, parlay, whatever it is you want to do. Head to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers or scan this QR code to my right. And you will get 50% deposit bonus on your very first deposit. And they have everything, whether you want to do casino bets, live casinos, lotto, racing, you name it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
All right, let's keep this train a-rolling. Let's talk some tight ends. Tight end, I think you need two. Probably one vet, one draft pick. But with this tight end draft class, to say that it is elite is an understatement. It is unreal. First round, you're going to get 2 to 3 first round tight ends. Second round, you're going to get 2 to 3 second round tight ends. You're probably going to get 4 or 5 third round. Like, this is a tight end draft where wherever you want to go, whatever you want the strong tight end two that the 49ers like as an extra offensive lineman, cool. You want the wide receiver tight end like Brock Bowers, not Brock Bowers, but like that exists. There's one player, there's more than one, but there's one player that 49ers fans don't talk about enough. I know everybody's Tyler Warren. I hate to tell this to everybody. I don't think Tyler Warren's the best tight end in the class. I don't. I really don't. I think he's incredible. And I think he's going in the first round. I think that he is awesome. But whenever I filter this thing by, you know, run blocking, whatever. Here, I want to see, actually. I want to see, because I just did the top ones. Ooh, yeah. Tyler Warren is bottom six in run blocking grade. Like, he's great. But he's got a 52 grade run blocking. 52. Like, and everybody's like, well, you know, you can go out there and you can draft Colston Loveland if you just want a receiver. Colston Loveland has a higher blocking grade, and it shows on tape. I understand that Tyler Warren's awesome, and I hate that this is turning into like a weekly, like, this is why the Niners are not going to draft Tyler Warren. Watch him draft him, and I wouldn't be upset. I think he's a damn good player. But whenever I look at Niner fits, yeah, whenever the ball's in his hand, I get that, the versatility, but I hate to tell you this. Colston Loveland is a better blocker, a better route runner, has better hands, and is better, maybe not better after the ball, after the catch. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, I get everybody loves Tyler Warren, but go watch. I know it's Michigan, and I hate Michigan more than anybody. I hate Michigan. Colston Loveland's better. And I actually think the conversation needs to be had. This is going to piss some people off even more. I'm not so sure that Tyler Warren is the number two tight end in this class. I love Harold Fannin Jr. I think that that dude played at Bowling Green. I get it. But you look at the highest blocking run grade for a tight end that's like draft eligible, Harold Fannin Jr. is right up there, 75.2. Tyler Warren, 50. 75.2. You're not to mention the production he's done as a route, the hands, all those things. Level competition's a concern. I get that. I understand that. I don't think Harold Fannin Jr. is a perfect prospect. But if you ask me, would you rather take Tyler Warren in the first round or Harold Fannin in the second? That is a no-brainer. Do I think that we should take Harold Fannin Jr. in the second round? I do not. I don't. But he runs better routes, has better hands, is a better blocker. He's a little bit smaller, but dude blocks. Dude blocks. He's damn good. All right. Look at this. Sid, she says, of course, like a good student, I'm taking notes. Man, you are the best, Sid. You are absolutely incredible. Invader, I think Landon Jackson is the pick at 43. Dude, I love me some Landon Jackson. Buck, fan had a better run block grade too. He does. It's not close. What's up, David? Appreciate you, man. So glad you guys are here. Right here, Loveland, I fear, will be a Chief. I don't think he'll be there at 31. Loveland's going. If Loveland is available, he's not getting past the Rams. I will tell you that right now. The Rams tried to trade up. What's up, Clarzard, by the way? I did not say what's up. The Rams tried to trade up for Brock Bowers. If you like Brock Bowers, you love Colston Loveland. Do you like him as much? No. But again, Rams tried to trade up for Brock Bowers and were denied. They tried to trade up twice. Loveland, especially after Brock Bowers' season, dude, Loveland ain't going to make it out of it. If Loveland is there at 20, I would be shocked. But this is a crazy deep tight end class. It is. Loveland to Denver. Yeah, if they don't get Taysom Hill, that makes sense. Right here, NY Niners. Fannin is by far the best yet, guys. Dude, NY Niners is the architect of this entire sheet that I'm living my life through. what he says is pretty damn close to gospel to me. There's people that put in the work, and this guy, he puts in the work. Now, my second tight end, the second highest best run blocking grade, Jackson Haas. I freaking love Jackson Haas, man. Yale transfer, Georgia Tech. Are you kidding me? 74.7. And again, this ain't me. This is a sorting a chart and seeing who's the best there. Those are just two guys that are perfect 49ers fits at the tight end position. And if we could walk out with Harold Fannin in the second and Jackson Haas in the fourth or fifth, whew, that is cooking, man. Those are just guys that are going to fit. They're going to play. Yeah, like, oh, I get excited whenever I talk tight ends. I really, really do. All right, let's talk wide receiver. I got too many positions to go, man. I got too many. And that's okay. Hopefully you guys enjoy this. I know I talk a lot. My favorite like critique ever of my podcast was I got a 1-star review one time, and it was a 1-star, and it was like, guy talks too much. And it was like a solo podcast, and I just thought that was hilarious. Anyway, so let's talk Daquan Felton, wide receiver, Virginia Tech, 6'5", 215. He is huge, man. It's a 6'6 wingspan. Didn't play great, but you're talking highest run blocking, 80.4 run blocking grade. You want to draft somebody that's going to be a red shirt guy that fills in for Juwan Jennings when he leaves. Again, another thing that I hate to tell people, I wish we could keep Juwan Jennings. This is the last year of his deal. That dude's about to go be a number one or number two for a team and get paid. He's about to get paid. So Daquan Felton could be a guy that you kind of sit there and you let him learn. This is a day three wide receiver prospect, Daquan Felton, but he's there. Now, all right, now we're about to go off on a tangent. The second highest best, and this is the new name in draft Twitter and 49ers Twitter, second highest best run blocking grade, none other than Trey Harris. I cannot go a full episode without talking about this guy. Half of my emails, half of my DMs are about Trey Harris. This dude's just a beast, 76.1. He is the Shanahan of all Shanahan wide receivers. I hate the system he played in. I hate Ole Miss. I hate that RPO Briles system. I know I don't think that translates well to the NFL. Now, I have to say shout out to my man NY Niners. He sent me his thesis on Trey Harris. And he created new criteria and new statistics for Trey Harris, which is awesome. And he's not against Trey Harris, but I do want to buttress this conversation about Trey Harris, who, again, he's the hot name right now. I think 43 is too early for him. I do. Would that be a bad pick? I don't think so. I don't want to spend that second round pick on something outside the trenches. It needs to be O-line, T-line. Tight end I'd be cool with because I think that helps the trenches as well. But he's gaining so much steam. You've got Daniel Jeremiah talking about him. You got Dane Brugler talking about him. You got all the 49ers people talking about him. And right here, Harris goes round one. It's possible. Now, NY Niners, he did a deep dive. And here's kind of the stuff that he came up with. And I double-checked. And he's not wrong. Trey Harris's man grade and yards per route run are impressive. We talked about that last episode. If you want somebody that can beat man coverage, Trey Harris was at the top of the list by a lot, almost double everybody else. But the drop rate is bad. Now, his yards per snap are great, but he was so heavily targeted in the games he played, he didn't play in all the games. And a lot of that is Jackson Dart, this running around, freaking chunking plays up and all that stuff. But he provides that, and guess what Brock Purdy does? He's a run around, chunking up quarterback. That's what he is. But if you jump past the yards per snap to yards per target, he's no longer the outlier. He's still great, but he's not like the best wide receiver ever. So NY Niners came up with this T2S, targets to snap, and he charted this out. It's incredible. Trey Harris, he still dominates, but he gets targeted so much whenever he plays. It kind of skews it to this might be the best wide receiver ever to, okay, now he's one of the pack. And if we stick to that targets to snap whatever, there's two other wide receivers that jump out. Pat Bryant, who I don't want to dive into super right now, Illinois, great. I like him a lot. But NY Niners, he did the work, so I'm going with it. Elijah Badger out of Florida, another Gator guy. Niners love to double dip and go after guys who have played together. They saw Elijah Badger, right? They scouted Florida. Ricky Pearsall, all that stuff, it's still there. Doesn't get talked about a lot. 6'1", 192. Now, he's ranked low. He's a day three guy. But guess what? Look at his drop rate. Zero. Dude didn't drop one pass this year. Hands are great. And you have to keep in mind, he has the same terrible quarterback that Quinn Mertz, Florida. He's awful. I hated doing Ricky Pearsall tape last year because the quarterback was just god-awful. Now, we got another guy. Quinn Mertz, he might get drafted. Like, I would not draft him. I removed him from the draft book because I was just like, I ain't watching film on this guy. He's so erratic. But had 69 targets from a terrible QB. I'm choking over here. The only downside that I could find on Elijah Badger is his run blocking grades, 48.1. That's low. Now, it's a wide receiver, and he's pretty close to Tyler Warren, who everybody keeps telling me we should take with the 11th pick. So if Tyler Warren could go at 11 with a 52 blocking grade, why can't Elijah Badger go in the fifth round with a 48.1 run blocking grade? I don't know. Y'all tell me. Hopefully I didn't upset anybody right there. But man, I guess, how do I be honest? I think the Tyler Warren thing upsets me because he had that awesome game. I think it was the Big Ten Championship or one of the first playoff games. And everybody just fell in love with him right there. And rightfully so. The dude's going to be a baller. I'm not saying, like, I would not be shocked if he's an all-pro player. But I'm just like, man, why don't we talk about some of these other tight ends that could do more? Right here. Shaw, what is the rank for Savion Williams? If we're just talking, let me go back to wide receivers. I'm going to filter this run blocking grade, largest to smallest. Savion, you got to go way down. 54.5. Oh, nope. 54.3 run blocking grade. Not great. And he's huge. He is huge. We talked about him last episode as well. So, yeah, that's Savion Williams. Looks like Megatron. No doubt about that, but doesn't run clean routes, drops the ball like crazy, versatile as all get out. But yeah, somebody's going to take him early for sure. Yeah, he's damn good. All right, running backs. Now, running backs run the ball, but this is a little bit of a fullback conversation, right? A little bit. Brock Lamp, fullback from Northern Illinois. What's up, Fighting Jimmy Awards? 6'1", 252, undrafted free agent type. I don't have a draft write-up on him, but 84.4 run blocking grade. All right, 6'1", 250. I see ya. And then LaQuint Allen, 6', 201 from Syracuse, 73.6 run blocking grade. Speedster, 7th round undrafted free agent. Again, just, you know, I wanted to stay consistent through my offensive production. I don't think run blocking is what's most important with these running backs, but if you're just looking at, here, I'll throw some extras, some bonuses in there. If you're looking at the zone rush attempts, oh, hold on, I gotta find it. Where is it? Yeah, there it is. Here we go. If we're just looking at just kind of zone whatever, zone runs, here we go. Ashton Jeanty, Cam Scataboo, those are your number one, number two for running backs, if that's what you're looking for. Now, quarterbacks. I just went with straight run grade, your mobile quarterbacks, if that's what you want to do. Riley Leonard's number one with the 83.1. Jalen Milroe right behind him with the 81.8. So, again, we got to close out the entire whatever, you know, all of the positions and what that is and what that looks like. So, I think this was fun. I think this was a very interesting way just to look at everything. What's up, Yatsik? This is a question coming from someone who's never played American football, so excuse my ignorance. No way, man. You come at it from an inquisitive standpoint. There is no ignorance. You're the man. Is good blocking more of a matter of talent or more of effort, commitment by a player? It's a little bit of both, and it depends on the position. Talent, power, and staying in balance. You know, power steps are a big deal. Whenever I coached O-line, we were in a zone read system at South Dallas. We had athletes everywhere. And, you know, we were four wide quarterback zone read. You know, that's what we were. And so we'd leave a guy unblocked for the quarterback to read, and we would just move and move and move. Outside zone, speed option, you name it. But the 6-inch power step, I think, is just so huge. And so whenever you can get somebody, okay, let's talk about somebody who cannot do that. Our center, and again, back to my biggest issue with the team, especially offensive line, especially offense, Jake Brindle has no power. Whenever he can get to wherever you want. So like you draw up the play of the center, okay, you're going to inside release, you're going to do a duo chip to the play side backer, which means you're going to check down on the shade, whatever defender to your right side to get to the play side backer on the right side. Jake Brindle will do it every single time, exactly where you draw the lines. The problem is whenever you draw the play and you put that little dash mark at the end of the line, like you block this guy, it's from that point forward, Jake Brindle is just non-existent. He'll get there, make contact, and fall down. Stop, turn around, and watch. He has no power whatsoever. And I talked about how in this scheme, agility and movement are paramount. Brindle has that. He has that. But he has zero in the power category. You watch it. A big reason why we can't score in the goal line is Jake Brindle. A big reason why we can't score in the goal line is Jake Brindle. And so, like, I want somebody that can get to the place that you need to. Athleticism, agility, lateral movement's huge. But then, sustain the block. Jake Brindle's the worst block-sustained player I've ever seen in the NFL, ever. Niners just don't seem to have a problem with it. I think it's crazy. Now, the further away you get from the ball, the more blocking is about effort and attitude. Wide receivers, effort, attitude. Tight ends, effort, attitude. Go back to Cam Latu. That dude never had effort, never had attitude, was the softest football player I've ever seen play. Ever. I wrote that in my draft report before we drafted him. I was like, this dude is a seventh rounder at best. He's great at finding space against the zone, but he is scared to hit. He's scared to be hit. You can't be an NFL football player in the trenches and be scared to hit. You can't do that. Can't do that. Akello Witherspoon was that guy. Took him 7 years to stop being a baby and actually start hitting. And now he's decent. Dude was scared as hell to hit every single day in practice or in games with the 49ers. Right? I know you're asking about blocking. So attitude, the further you get away from the ball, but you can still see it in some guys that are just mean, dirty. They want to fight. Will Campbell's one of those. Wyatt Millam's one of those. Grayson Bell's one of those that they just want. It's personal. I want to bury you. Juwan Jennings. I hate your parents. I hate your grandparents. I hate them all. So it applies everywhere. George Kittle. Do we have one mean player right now? Colton McKivitz is probably the meanest. Dominic Pooney's got some of it in him. Trent used to. But Trent's smart now. Trent's smart now. That doesn't mean he's bad, but Trent ain't trying to kill people anymore. Trent's trying to have a sustain and just keep playing, which he's so talented that works. But, like, I want killers, man. You know what I mean? I want it to be personal. Anyway, Sid, thank you so much. I detest laziness in any profession. My least favorite thing that I could think of that's like, so if you say laziness, mine's entitlement as a coach, teacher, parent, foster parent, adoptive parent, entitlement. I freaking get that shit out. I'd rather a kid, I can't handle that. I don't know. I just go level 10 on that stuff. And some of that's Jake Brindle's entitled. He plays entitled. It's there. He stops in the middle of the play and turns around and watches his teammates get hit, fumble, don't go for it. Game's over. Who cares? Getting blown out in the fourth quarter and we're not making the playoffs. Who cares? The dude just watches it. So you call that laziness, entitlement, soft, pansy, like, man, back playing, just being a football player, right? Dude, Oklahoma drill first day of pads? Should have been illegal. Oh, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd put on NFL films, the NFL hits, the VHS tape. And we had, especially like my junior, senior year, we had like 30 minutes off before practice where we were supposed to go eat. And all my friends would come to my house and we watch NFL films and then we go to practice. You know what I mean? It's just like, hell yeah. But as a coach and as a player, first day of pads, you get out there. And there's always somebody that you can just tell this ain't the place for them. And you can't tell them that. You can't say, hey, if this ain't for you, don't do it. Instead, what do? They're shaking and they're all scared and they just gingerly walk up to the Oklahoma drill. And those are the guys that got hurt every damn time. Every damn time. Those are the guys. Timid players get hurt. But man, I want dogs. I want a pack of going out there like a pack of crazed dogs. Channel of my Lord's Taylor right there. Ah, man. Sin, thank you. Laziness is one of the byproducts of the title. Man, to have sin, you the best. Anyway, get me all pumped up, man. Ah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to hit something. And hopefully today you walk away with, dude, that's a lot of targets. We went over about 13, 14 names that I think fit what we do at all these different offensive positions. And man, if you want nastiness, I'm going to have to, we do traits on our draft book, right? Like experience, versatility, speed, toughness. I need to add one that's like nastiness or something. I don't know. If you could think of something that just measures like how much of a dog a player is, like a Juwan Jennings factor. Like that's something that I want to, because toughness is, you know, like, toughness is awesome. Ricky Pearsall is a 10 on toughness. Dude got shot, kept playing. He'll go over the middle and get destroyed all the time. He ain't going to hesitate. But, like, he ain't nasty. He ain't, you know, suplexing players or blocking. Like, he's tough. I don't know. Yeah, Greenlaw has it in spades. Juwan Jennings has it in spades. There's guy. I don't know what to call that. I don't know what to call that. So a nastiness index. I do like that. I want somebody that wants to freaking kill somebody out there on the field. Terrell Chapman preaching gospel out there. I get pumped up thinking about this. Landon Jackson, he's got it. He's got it. Anyway, woosaw. Yeah, when you're on the field, it's okay to be crazy. I tell my players this all the time. Now we're going back into the building. Now you got to calm it down. Don't bring this anger and whatever. You take that out on the field. I don't want you getting fights in there, whatever else. So that's what we're going to do. You guys go into work. We're going about our day. Woosaw. Focus on your breathing. Don't do no Oklahoma drill on Karen. 49ers rush got me pumped up. Anyway, true grit. I like grit. Y'all email me if you think of something. What can be that nastiness factor? That doesn't sound so terrible. I don't want to say that over and over again. Anyway, you guys are the best. Hopefully you enjoyed this show. Join me tomorrow for the John and Wayne show. That's going to be at 10 a.m. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then moving on, just want to put this out there. I'm going to have to head down to Southern California, work on the Altadena place and all that stuff and get things set up down there. So might miss a couple of days. I'm going to try to record on the road and all that stuff. But anyway, just want to kind of let you guys be aware of that. But y'all are the best. And until next time, stay strong, fam.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI.
With new line on my plan, additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.